relationship with him. I'm telling you, there is much more if you just allow him to be your God.
Yeah.
There is so much more if you just allow him to father you. Forget your father in the Lord. I'm sorry, I don't mean it that way. Let your father be the Lord.
Don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me.
And so we're back this week to have another interesting conversation. I really want to encourage you to listen to, you know, like watch this to the end. And if you've not subscribed to us, please hit the subscribe button because that would be great. And you can get the notification whenever we put up an episode.
Yeah.
Right. So that said, what is the conversation we're having today? Have you ever been in a position where you really wanted something from God and you... like in a prayer place, and you find yourself saying, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. You know, sometimes it feels very convenient to probably say, God of my father, you know, or God of our ancestors. But you can't really get yourself to say, my God, God of Iliola. Have you ever been in that position where sometimes it feels like you cannot personalize God because it feels like he's beyond you? And sometimes while you think about that, you're also thinking that maybe you're just not as adequate as other people that you've read about. And so it makes a lot of sense that they own God and you know, you're just like having like a secondhand religion or a secondhand, you know, faith or something. Have you ever been in that position? That's the conversation we're having today. It's very close to the conversation we had last week about religion. But somehow, I don't think a lot of us are very aware that we have picked up these things that somehow have created a distance between us and God and actually really seeing God for who he is, which is the Father of all, right? What is very important is Jesus said something in Matthew. He said, you don't have any other father apart from one. And this was when they were saying, oh, Abraham was our father.
Yeah.
Jesus said, no, you have just one father. That person is your father. You know, and he also said that, and he said to them, like, don't let anybody put you in an impossible position where they probably even call you teacher because there's only one teacher. But, you know, today, somehow we are very comfortable to hold on to, like, the faith of other people. I don't know if, I'm not saying this is right and I'm not saying this is wrong.
Right.
But I'm just saying that sometimes, even in our denominations, that's what is happening, right? Even in our faith, that's what is happening. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Why have we gotten into this position where God, we're more comfortable to say God of something as opposed to just saying my God, my Father? That's the conversation we're having today.
I don't know. Do you think that maybe the cue has been taken from God himself? You know, like in the Old Testament scriptures where God was speaking to, Jacob, where he introduced himself as God of his fathers? So I don't know, maybe we've taken it as a cue, you know, prototype that even when God was introducing himself to one of his children, he said, look, I'm the God of this. I'm the God of your father.
Okay.
So I think that maybe it wasn't with the intention that we would depend on the faith and the confidence of that father, but also to just give that child this opportunity to get to know him, that I've known your father and I want to know you too. But maybe we just took it from the angle of, if he knows my father must have been good enough. I don't know. I'm just trying to...
That's an interesting angle. What do you think, Taya?
So I think I'm going to look at it a little bit differently.
Okay.
So when we talk about the... when we talk about God as being the God of someone, and we try to attribute, is based off our understandings of generations and shepherds and sheep.
Okay.
Right. So if you look at a shepherd, he has a flock, right? And that flock according to what Jesus said, the sheep know the shepherd.
Mm.
And when you try to put reference to God of something, mm-hmm. you are seeing that as your shepherd,
mm-hmm.
and you are a sheep in that flock. Mm-hmm. So you say God of that, what is it called? So in that context, I don't necessarily think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you don't know what the person is really serving.
Mm-hmm.
However, any father would always answer to the cry of his child. So whether it's the right person or the wrong person, mm. you would definitely get an answer. So I think, so if I look at it in that light, then it makes sense why we always tend to say the good of... I remember many years ago when I think I was going home, and so I said, oh, I don't want anybody to stop me. And what came to my mind was there was a particular book I had read. I think it was one of the men of God in Nigeria, right? And it was talking about the blood of just men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that time when I was saying my prayer was, oh, yes, I know just men, and my father is a just man.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my understanding of who my father was. I'm saying my biological father, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was my prayer, the blood mm-hmm. of just men. And then I mentioned the name of my father,
mm-hmm.
and I went for what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, nobody stopped me. And I'm like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. prayer answered. But looking back, that may have been an influence, and also it might not have been an influence. I really cannot put it, but that just shows that I understood that I was a sheep,
mm-hmm.
and my father was a shepherd,
mm.
right? And I'm trying to connect with what he stands for,
mm.
and if I'm trying to connect what he stands for, then that just makes sense for me to say, oh, God of my father. See you again.
In that context, it's not necessarily a misplaced or misdirected prayer. It does not necessarily say that you don't have access to that God, or is you're indirect in that way. It's more like understanding your position, you're understanding who you are, a child of that. And so it's still okay.
I actually honestly don't think so. I really don't think so. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with what people are doing, because everybody can do whatever it is that they want to do. We live in a world where, you know, people subject themselves to things. I love that you talked about the shepherd and the sheep, because I really love it, because when you go to Ezekiel and you go to Jeremiah, he was talking about the bad shepherd. And he was talking about the one taking advantage of the sheep. Mm-hmm. And was asking right. him to go rebuke those shepherds, because, you know, but I love something that Jesus came to say. He said, I am the good shepherd. Like, he literally says, I'm the good shepherd. He said, every other person that came before me, he said that they are like, actually, he calls them robbers. He actually did call them robbers. And I think that there is something in saying that categorically, and there's something in somebody hearing me say that categorically that just brings like an offense. Because God never put you in a position when he made you complete. He never put you in a position where you are subject to someone else, or you are in a sheep of somebody else apart from his. So, and I love what you said, like, okay, when he wanted to introduce himself to Jacob, he said, oh, I'm the God of your father, right? When you come into the fatherhood of God, is that he doesn't, and as you look at it in Jesus, he doesn't say, I am the God of your father. He actually just calls you by your name. He just says, woman. He just says, Lazarus. He just says, Mary. Because he came to have a personal relationship with you. He came to remove everything that stopped you from having that free access to him. That's what he came to do. So the mindset that we have of this God of, I'm saying that today we have an experience that has been given to us through Christ. And that experience is that we can say, Abba, Father. That's what the Spirit cries in us. The Spirit of God gives us the liberty to say, Father. It doesn't give us the liberty to say, God of Abraham. However good the God of Abraham sounds. But if you are in a religious mindset, or you've read the books to activate or to think that there is something about Abraham, or there's something about David, or there's something about, then you invoke that. No. The Holy Spirit is in you to say, Abba, Father. How is Abba, Father not enough?
Does it knock out then? I mean, yes, that's agreed. But then also in Hebrews, it talks about how it says Abraham was the father of faith, and was a friend of God at this. You know, does it knock out each other then? Yeah. when you as a believer refer to Father Abraham has many sons, or, you know, and knowing that you the Holy Spirit has come into you.
Okay.
Can cry about Father.
I won't tell you to. Tell you, do you have anything to say?
You can go first. That's fine.
Yeah, I think that there's something that Hebrew himself was saying in Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 listed all these people, and it says all these people died without obtaining the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Peter himself said something in Peter. He said the prophets and everybody that talked about the salvation, they were looking into it to really understand what it was, but they couldn't. Because the generation that was going to understand it was you. You know, do you know how insulting it is when somebody is giving you the life, abundant life, everything, then you now say, God of Elijah. Like what you actually really have inside of you. It was somewhere, you know, I always say this. Jesus was going to go through Samaria, right? They were stopping him from going. The disciples said, let's call down fire. Like, we can show them. Jesus said, no. You and the people that called fire, you are not born of the same spirit. Let that sink in. That you and the people that calls down fire, you are not born of the same spirit. Because the spirit he gave to you now is his own spirit, is eternal life, is his very life giving to you. So when you find yourself in a position, you're like, oh, God of Jacob. Who is Jacob? I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean it that way, because I don't mean it in a wrong way. Do you get what I mean? Because I can as well say God of Lishabi. Because Jacob can as well be a group of people. I can as well say, oh, God of what? Anything. God of thunder. Or God of sun. Why have we come to a position where the Holy Spirit is singing through us now, Abba Father? How is Abba Father not enough? There is something that is blocking us from actually really being who we're supposed to be. That's what I'm saying. And if we're not able to get out of that mindset, oh, Spirit of just me, who are they? I'm sorry, I don't mean it in a bad way.
No.
Go on.
Perfect.
Who are they?
Yeah, so initially when I was talking, I was trying to explain the reason why.
Okay.
Right. And I think my stand might be somewhat similar to what your stand is.
Yeah.
Because my stand is you don't need anybody to meet God. You don't need to go for anybody to meet God. And if you have any requests, you table it straight to God, and is going to be able to answer your request, right? So when people use an intermediary, it's because of a lot of stuff that they've learned, right? Mm. And is, I think, the hardest thing to do is unlearn, because it takes a lot of pride and ego of you, like, come on, I've always known this. Mm-hmm. How would you tell me that that's wrong? You know, imagine when they told you it was sandalili, only for you to hear, oh, it's something different. Like, it took you a lot of time. No, it's not possible.
Mm.
I'm sure that the version that we have is different from the other version. That version that they are saying that is the one that it's supposed to be correct. Maybe they are using it in another place. Yeah. So, like, so that I feel that's like the way it is. And when they tell you God is your father, you're like, no, he has to be God of Jacob. I must make sure that I go through the route of Jacob, that because it's only Jacob that is with the promise with. He did not make it with me. You know, so if you look at it, because it was Jacob that was done to Israel, right? And if you look at it from that angle, then you understand the reason why we always try to say, oh, the God of this, but is not only the God of that person. He didn't create only Jacob, he created you as well. And if he created you, then he's your God, he's your father.
You know?
And I feel like that's the way I see it. And
sorry, I don't mean to cut you, but you know, why you're talking about like it was Jacob who made the promise with, I'm like, how ignorant are you that you were the fulfillment of that promise? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he ever made a covenant with Abraham to say, oh, through your seed, the whole world is going to be blessed. Through your seed. The seed that was called blessed is you. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are the fulfillment of everything that they've always wanted. So it's when you were talking about that, I just kind of like imagined it. Like, how ignorant sometimes are we? And really, I love that there's something that, you know, one of the prophets was saying, how knowledge will be the stability of their time. And I think it's very important at a time like this to really get into the truth about who we are, particularly the truth about who we are in God. Right? I'm sorry to say this, because a lot of people would think that maybe we're trying to tear down institutions or something. No, I love community. I think when people are in a community, right, there are expectations around community. And that can be different for different cultures. But the gospel is not community tailored. I don't know, as in God is not community tailored. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So God is consistent. The God in Sheffield has to be the same God in London, right? It's not like God will be conditioned to some things here because it's here and then he's in. No, God is one God. Communities can have different traditions. They can have different systems. They can do different things. But you must not say that your community is God. Because the gospel, if you preach it in the UK, it has to be exactly the same gospel in the US. Do you get what I mean? Because his witness is to one thing.
Yeah.
But when you say God of something, it means that you are going into that context to invoke something from that context.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, like when we're growing up and you want a revival, as in you're doing a revival, you go, God of Elijah, send down fire. Like, you know, like how many things have you literally done or said that is come from a place of ignorance? If we just sit today, let's just sit and just say, do you know what? It's actually my God. What does that look like? Do you know sometimes what stops you? It's that you look at your life and you just see it as so small. You look at your accomplishment, you're like, no, I'm a failure. You look at everything, you're like, I don't have any expectation. But then you compare yourself to other people that things are working for. You're like, oh, nothing is working for me. So definitely, if I say God of, my father, as in God of Mo, you're going to feel like, God of Mo must be really like...
Junior.
do you know what I mean? When you compare it to somebody like that. But you need to know that you are God's showmanship. He wants to show you to the world in a way that everybody can be like, wow, this is amazing. There is a part of you that God wants to reveal that, you know, it brings out this beauty about who he is. How do you allow yourself to come into that if you've not actually sat down and said,
my God, my Father.
Mm.
A lot of people today, I'll let you talk because I feel like I'm grabbing the mic. They're trying to ask themselves, who is God?
Mm.
Because they feel that's the conversation, isn't it? Who is God?
Mm.
And so you listen to the story of these people, you're like, I can't stand. That can't be my God. You're listening to that, you're looking through, you're trying to find who God is. You're going, a lot of people, then you go, oh, there's no God. Some people will come to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, there is no need for you to come to a conclusion of whether there is or there isn't. Because the one who is inside of you, as far as we know, the one who is inside of you, the one that you have become now, that is who the nature of God is. Unless you want to deny that you don't exist. Because your existence is filled by that. The fact that we have a lot of cultural mishaps, societal vices, do you get what I mean? Like mm-hmm. institutions, misuse of abuse, you know, misuse of authority. Because the fact that we have that does not invalidate who God is.
Mm.
Because he is spirit. And in him is love. If you're finding it difficult to love, or you're finding it difficult, or you assess a position and say, that can never be love. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that wasn't God. Maybe you're right. But what we find in the religious section or the religious sector is everyone wants to justify everything.
Yeah.
It's unquestionable God. How can you say it's unquestionable when he says, bring your strong reasons? Like he wants to literally have a relationship with you, right? He said, bring your strong reason. He said, let's have a dialogue. That's what he wants to do with you. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, he's unquestionable. Question him. John, Jesus said, ask him any question you have, he'll answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think, unquestionable you are the Lord? Do you know who said unquestionable? It's Job's friend. Job's friends were the one who says, will you question him? And their testimony of God was false. Go to Job chapter 42 and find out. But you're like, everlasting Father. I'm sorry, I don't mean it back. Unquestionable. And you ingrain yourself to say, you cannot talk to your Father. You can't have a dialogue with your Father. You cannot meditate with your Father. You cannot reflect with your Father. Like, that's the implication of what you're saying. Anyway, let me shut up because
don't.
I'll just keep going.
I think, actually, if we're being organic, sometimes this is what conversation looks like, because when you get to a point where you're so convicted of what you know, then you're airing how you know what you know,
mm-hmm.
how you've come to the conclusion that you've come. And if there's anything that we've been able to establish here is that, you know, a lot of things have informed how we have the nature that we have adopted is basically on the information that that's fueled us for years and years and foundations and generations. And I think that it's very liberating, you know, to hear that God is directly your Father. It's very liberating to hear that, you know, you can organically source him and search him out and understand him, and wherever you're at, he'll meet you there. Sometimes it doesn't translate into day-to-day living, you know, and I think that's why we're having these kind of conversations, because sometimes you're like, when you were talking about unquestionable, you're the God, sometimes that I would completely own up to say that my assumption is that somebody who's come to that conclusion faced something that was too big for them to understand, something that hurt too deep and had to rely on that was there. I mean, if we're going back to the fact that the way that we understand God is basically our life experiences, the way that we understand God is how much of him that we draw in. And in that situation that they were in, it was probably easier to understand the version of God that, like, because it doesn't make sense for their child to be taken from them. Maybe, I don't know. And it just doesn't make sense. They ask the question, but and there's nothing that makes sense. Okay, fine. I'm not going to question. That was their own takeaway from that situation. So maybe that's how they've come. Maybe that's how that person has come to that conclusion of unquestionable. God you are. And maybe it's okay for them.
No, it's not.
As well.
No, it's not.
But you know.
No, it's not. It really, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you.
No, it's fine.
I don't mean to cut you. No, it's not. Because you have a freedom to ask questions. If somebody says you cannot ask questions, they're subjugating you. And God is
I'm not saying you can't ask the question. No. I'm saying the person who's coming to that conclusion that themselves
needs to come out and be liberated. Your child, I'm sorry, I'm probably going to sound insensitive, right? But I'm not insensitive. Your child died, so I don't mean it in a bad way. I don't mean it in a bad way. Yeah, like we're in this world. We die. We live and we die. Death is what is certain.
Yeah.
There are places in this world where war is going on right now. People are dying, like just dying. Why are you so entitled? Why don't you just appreciate the person that is in your life right now and love them? And so if something happens or some, you know, your child is gone, I know it's a loss. But there are many
people entitled to feel hurt, though.
No, I'm not saying that you're not entitled. You should not feel hurt. It's the fact that you think that God should have done something, and when He doesn't do anything, you then say, "Oh, He's unquestionable." No, it's true.
That's a perspective. What if because you're saying that is on the assumption that the person had an answer and decided to come up with that the opinion that they're unquestionable.
We actually need to go to the scripture to see where that unquestionable conversation came in. It was Job and his friends that said it. Job and his friend sold the idea to us that God was unquestionable.
Right. So I think I can try to take the topic in a
different direction.
Not in a different direction. just let's look at it from another
angle,
a perception, right? Mm-hmm. So, in Nigeria, there's a religion we call African traditional religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, right, maybe if something happens to you, you go to the priest, right? Mm-hmm. And then they do whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, this is what is going to happen. And then you say, is there a way out? And then they say, let me ask the God, mm-hmm. right? And then they do it. And then they say, oh, yes, there's a way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell you what the way is. Oh, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's quite interesting that even they get answers when they ask questions,
mm-hmm.
but the person that is the creator, that we try to say is the creator, mm-hmm. in this case, is unquestionable, you know,
mm.
because if they can change the course of their life just based off their understanding, why can't me that claims to know a bigger God or serve a better God, why can't I say, God, this is what is it? And this outcome has come, but is there a way out? Is there a solution? Even when it seems like the solution has come, which for in this case is death, there must be something else.
Mm.
And that's where we need to come to that understanding of what we know as God. You know, because I say something, is it something that you give life to, or is it something that gives you life?
That's exactly it.
Right. Because if you understand that there's a difference between you giving life to something and something giving you life, then you would start to unpack things differently from the way you're looking at it.
True. True. I honestly, I couldn't agree more, because I think that there is a, again, going to what Ty was saying about, you know, is it the one you give life to or the one that gives you life? Like, I guess that is also where the thing is. We feel a sense of we want him to continue to give us life. Do you get what I mean? And because we want him to continue to give us life, so we are subjected to a set of conditions under which we continue to have life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that's where that worthiness or unworthiness kind of come in. Do you understand what I'm saying? But just move away from that and come to what Paul was saying when he was describing, like, you know, the spirit that you have received. He says it's a life-giving spirit. Like, that's all it does. This spirit that you have received is a life-giving spirit.
And it's already inside of you.
And it's already inside of you. So if, I'm sorry, I think that there is definitely something that we're experiencing in our world now. And I know that, you know, everybody talks about the inadequacies of the world, you know, how, you know, man was falling. This wasn't God's original agenda. This wasn't God. You know, I know that there are lots of narratives there. But you know the power of the mind? The power of the mind is, as long as those narratives remain, you can never be free from them.
Yeah, you're formed by...
You can never be free from them. You can never be free from thinking that I am unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, because when I say that you can never be free from thinking I'm unworthy, if you have that mind, they're thinking that, oh, so you'll just be doing anything you like now. No. I'm saying that when you come to a position where you say, I am worthy, your behavior, everything about you will be superior.
Yes. And that's what it is. Like, it's a very, very carnal mind that thinks that, you know, when we talk about sin, right, you're talking about sin from a perspective of your understanding at the particular instance, right? There are a lot of things that were not sin and have now become sin, right? Even outside of the Ten Commandments.
Mm.
That's the reason why it was optimized and then Moses began to dish out more, right? And if you look at it, you find out that you will never get to that point where you're like, oh yes, I can do everything. Right. But when you kind of take a step back and you understand that what you need to do is renew your mind and allow your mind to be the gateway to the reality, then you are... I don't know how to put it for you, but it's just, it's a beautiful feeling, honestly, because when we're talking about God, if you've not met him, right, he would continue to be the violent person that you think he is, but he's a beautiful one, right?
You know, this, I think I find this subject quite, I think for me, I struggle a little bit with how to understand person who's praying to God for God to reveal himself the way he's revealed himself through somebody else. I think I struggle with that. I think in any way that there's been any identification with the God of any forefather, for me, it has always been just, it's a confirmation of his faithfulness. I think that's the way I always kind of approach that subject. So I think it makes it really difficult for me to think about the mindset of why you would pray. I don't know why. That's why the only angle I can think of when I say God introduced himself as God of Abraham, the only reason I feel like people feel the need to attribute identity and ownership of God to someone else sometimes, I think, is because maybe a kind of prototype has been set. But, you know, from our conversations today, we've been able to see that there's a liberating view that has come through Jesus. But again, you know, think about it. So that view was also mediated through Jesus. So it was mediated. It came through someone. So there's still the suggestion that God had to kind of, and I might be wrong, but there was an introduction that had to take place in a way through Jesus that we couldn't have understood before. Now that we have obtained the Holy Spirit, we then operate as Jesus's little brothers, whatever. But the fact is that initially, for us to get the concept, there had to be a mediator. So I kind of feel like, so I think if there's any conundrum, if there's anything I'm struggling with, it appears like God has always kind of related through, there's always been a linking somewhat through. And that's maybe what kind of feeds your need to, you know, over time and over the years, it's easy for you to allude yourself to be able to reconcile yourself to the God of this person who do this for me, because there's always been this kind of a record or a pattern of God operating through. Okay. I think that's perhaps maybe what.
To be honest, I think I wouldn't want to dwell too much on it because. When I said, is it what gives you life or what you give life? What I meant was, you are the one that is giving it life, right? So even when you call on something in a way that you think you understand and you don't really understand, because it's your word that has been spoke or said, it will come to manifestation because that word is already inside of you. If the word was spoken to create, then you can speak it as well, right? And when you are talking, when you are trying to put a mediator, I wouldn't say it is bad, to be fair, because so many people have tried it and it works for them. Like, I know people that probably cannot pray without mentioning the God of General Geo did it. I know that there are people like that, and they always come out with testimonies, right? So I think it's more of, do you want to have a relationship with God, mm-hmm. or do you want to continue to use that channel as your source, as your way to God, or as your through to God, right? Because if you want to have a relationship with God, then you would understand the existence or the way you have come to be, or the way you can shape your life just through the way you think and channel your power and your energy to stuff. So I feel like that's what's more important to me than them going through that.
I love honestly, this is why we are Cincinnatus, right? Because I know a lot of people will probably feel like, you know, but it's because these are conversations that people have, right? These are conversations you have with friends. These are conversations we have with families. These are conversations that you can't stop having. But I feel like I kind of need to just like make where I am with this, like where I am with it. Like,
yeah, of course.
I don't think that it is wrong for you, like Tyra said, right? I don't think it's wrong for you if you want to go God of somebody, do something for me. I don't think it is. But I just want you to know that could be borderline idolatry. I mean it,
yeah,
because it means that you see that person and then you see God.
That's literally what Orisha means.
And I just want you to know that that's borderline idolatry. And the fact that you're doing it in a church context doesn't necessarily mean that is okay.
Yeah.
Because the people that do it in a traditional context, you rebuke them for it. You rebuke them. So why is it okay for you to do it in a church context? God, if we all come into, and the reason I'm saying this is because somehow there are gods of this world. And some people have put themselves in a position that they have become the gods of this world. And the reason they have become gods of this world is because they feel like they can do and undo things. They have no sense of accountability. And people cannot dare to ask them to be accountable because they're afraid to die. Yeah, you can't dare to ask them to because, oh, I can't, I have something horrible happening in my area. Oh, I can't actually advocate for something because advocating for what is supposed to be right and what's supposed to be just means that I'm not going to see the light of day. So we have foiled human evils. That's what I'm saying. You have foiled human evils because you cannot, like, you know how David, I'm just using this very lightly as an example. The Goliath was there. He's like, who are you? You uncircumcised Philistine. You cannot get yourself to a position where you're like, who are you? Because you're looking back, where are my fathers? Where are my fathers? You go. When Gideon was going to go, he said, Gideon, don't be afraid, go. Like, right now, he's put all his courage inside of you. Oh, yes, sir. Let me get my oil. Let me get my mantle. Let me, what are you looking for? That's what I'm speaking about. Because somebody can be hearing me now and be thinking, oh, yeah, okay, let me tell you something. You are enjoying, what are you enjoying now? When you are, let's say what you're enjoying now is jollof rice. Right? You're enjoying jollof rice because of your relationship between. I'm telling you, there is much more if you just allow him to be your God.
Yeah.
There is so much more if you just allow him to father you. Forget your father in the Lord. I'm sorry, I don't mean it that way. Let your father be the Lord.
Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me.
Like, why can't we just come there? We all come into the gathering. We all come into this. Everybody is waiting. Everybody, what is going on? Is it not for freedom that Christ came? Is it not for freedom? I understand what you're talking about, like mediation. You know, it's because somehow when Christ was presented to us, he was presented to us in a wrap up of religion.
Yeah.
Totally wrap up of religion. It was like, oh, this is the religious thing that people used to do before, and then Christ has now come to address, when Christ himself did not come to address any religion.
I don't think God Christ particularly said that, oh yeah, when I'm done, make a religion out of me.
No, he didn't endorse the one before him. He didn't endorse that there should be any after him. So why have we come into a position? What I'm trying to say is that we are dealing with our own humanness.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you want to remain in the realm of our humanness. But what we must know is that God is not in the realm, in the context of the things that we're putting in. And today, if we will let him, he wants to be our father and we his children. That's all he wants. And if everybody allows themselves to be fathered by God, oh, what a beautiful world it will be.
Amen to that.
But some people don't want to be fathered by God.
I won't say that. No, but okay.
They don't want to be because they don't know him. No.
Wants to be and then say they don't know him is two different things.
No, what I'm trying to say is this. Mm. When I say some people don't want to be fathered by God, I mean that there are some people that look at God through a lens. And the idea that there's a God that can love everybody, there's a God that is like serves everybody, there's a God that that idea, they don't want that idea because they want to be Lord over people. They want to be the Lord over people. They love the idea that God gets angry because they want to be angry.
And they love the idea that righteousness is what, what God wants.
Exactly. They love the idea that righteousness is what God wants. They love the idea that God went to destroy a nation because they want to destroy nations. They love the idea. They cannot imagine an idea that God didn't make a demarcation between rich and poor. But the world has put a system in place where there is rich and poor. Because it was saying, Jesus said, the poor you ever... Oh, but in him, we are not defined by riches or poverty. they don't want the idea. They love, that's what I mean. There are some, I'm sorry to say, but there are some pastors that love the idea that they are like the shepherd and you are the sheep. They love that idea. Because it means that they can turn their sheep wherever they want to. But they've forgotten that there's only one shepherd and it's Jesus. They love it. That's what I mean. They love the idea that when they sit, stand up from their chair, people go and sit down there to collect power. They love that idea. They love it.
Yeah.
They love the idea that when they come, everybody's like, what is God saying now? But what beautiful thing it will be if all of us know that God can actually say beautiful things through us. And we all come to echo what God is saying to each and every single one of us. That's what I'm speaking to. I'm saying let him be your God because the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of you as his son.
That's a very good period.
How do you find our conversation today? Perhaps it's not something that you're used to, right? I get it. But leave us a comment. Tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah. I think it's been a lovely conversation and there's been so many things that we have shared here. And I think that it's an opportunity for you to go and reflect. If there's anything, if there's nothing else you know to take away today, is that he wants to be your father. He's your father. I said something earlier. I said, God created Jacob. He created you too. And so, you don't need the relationship of Jacob to justify the relationship of you.
Hmm.
You don't need the experience of Jacob to justify the experience of you. And so this is something that will unfold over time. You know, in our conversations, many times we have said that, you know, what we have known informs where we are. So what would it look like if we knew something different? I want to leave you with that today, and I hope you really enjoyed it. If it's meant anything to you, comment, like, share, subscribe, tell somebody about it, and we really want to hear back from you. I know I say all the time, but we really want to hear back from you because that's what keeps the conversation going.
Thank you.
We want to thank Tayo for joining us on our sofa. Honestly,
if you want to see Tayo again, love it.
If you want to come, say you want him back, like, and then
subscribe.
What else we can? Yes, I'll tell you what else we can do.
If you want to join us on the sofa as well, let us know, right? It's all our conversations to have.
We can do it. We can do it. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go now because you don't know how to stop. Bye. Have a lovely week. Yeah. See you soon.
Bye.